Is the airport agony labeled unacceptable? We begin live with the problems plaguing Pearson. Toronto's travel turbulence reaching a new low.
Look at this. Families with young children forced to sleep on the floor. This is the reality right now, and the horror stories aren't limited to passengers dealing with delays.
Many others caught in baggage backlogs. You could call it a suitcase scavenger hunt. But for frustrated flyers, it's no game, waiting for days on end simply to collect their belongings. Good evening. It seems to be fight or flight. We've heard the explanation. Staffing shortages amid a surge of people looking to take off.
The two questions in the minds of those making plans: how did it get this bad? And why is this chaos being allowed to continue? CTV's Scott Lightfoot begins our coverage tonight live inside Terminal 1. Scott.
Well, Michelle, we're on the departure level. Just looking at the board here, more than half the departures on the board are either delayed or canceled. You know, a delayed flight in one city or more time spent trying to get off the plane in this city. There are a number of reasons why travelers who thought they were coming to Pearson for a brief layover, maybe just a quick plane change, are finding themselves stuck here through no fault of their own. Some are spending the night sleeping in the airport. Others fortunate enough to be able to find themselves a hotel room. But everyone we spoke to today said they feel the airline is not doing enough to help them, if anything at all. Many of these passengers saying they feel abandoned.
I asked the man, what was I supposed to do if I couldn't get on my flight or get a hotel, sleep on the floor with my children? And he said, yep, I guess that's what you're going to have to do.
Jennifer McDougall and her three kids started their summer vacation sleeping overnight in Pearson Airport. The family left Whitehorse on Saturday and still haven't reached their final stop in Nova Scotia.
Everyone here is beyond frustrated.
Spending the night at Pearson has become a popular, though highly disliked, destination this summer.
We stood in line for 3 hours waiting for customer service. They said they didn't have hotels. They said they didn't have, you know, meal vouchers. They didn't have anything.
The busiest spot at the airport today likely isn't the runway. It's this bank of courtesy phones. Every single person here is on hold with Air Canada. Every single one of them unwillingly stranded in Toronto. No one here planned to stay in the city. Rather, canceled connections and missed flights due to deplaning delays have left them trying to get out.
Just, you know, been here in the airport, of course, overnight, you know, no staff. So that was a wait in itself. And then once the morning came, it seemed as if every incoming Air Canada flight had an issue.
This woman trying to get from New York to Portugal after 5 hours standing in line and 2 hours on the phone, she's been told her best option is to fly back to New York and start over.
I would be coming back up to Toronto, and that's very frightening for me to just, I don't even want to cross Toronto again right now at this point, because just seems like a lot is going on at this airport.
This girl and her mother were supposed to have a short layover in Toronto last night on their way from Brazil to Boston for summer camp. Late this afternoon, they were still here.
They say to me, go to find another airline, buy a ticket, and we can do nothing for you.
And this family, headed to Italy from San Francisco for holidays, has decided to just give up and go home. A summer vacation not worth the hassles, spending another night stuck in a city they were never planning to visit.
What am I going to do, the same thing on the way back? It's Air Canada, right? So I'm going to fly back with Air Canada to Toronto on the way back and then try to get to SFO? No.
We reached out to Air Canada today to ask them about their customer service issues and ask why more wasn't being done for people who are being stranded here, even though they never planned to really visit Toronto in the first place. We got a fairly generic response in reply that talked about all of the issues facing the airline industry. The airline has previously said, however, that it will make it easier for passengers to delay or rebook flights or change flights through their website, and they're going to offer travelers the chance to increase their connection times at no cost. Live inside Terminal 1, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. For some unlucky travelers, the problems aren't ending when their flight touches down.
Baggage claim looking more like a free-for-all. Those leaving without their luggage looking for anything in the way of answers. CTV's Janice Golding reports.
This is the baggage waiting area at Terminal 1.
Do I know for sure that the bag's here? It didn't go to Mondreal or anything, did it?
Full of weary, frustrated passengers.
It's just chaos. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Searching, in many cases, fruitlessly for their luggage.
Yesterday, 6 hours here. Nobody answered nothing. Nothing. It's incredible.
They lost 9 of our bags that actually they went to Amsterdam without us. That's where we should be right now. We were here for like maybe 4 hours.
and then we got a hotel and we came back this morning.
Air Canada calls many of the baggage issues outside the airline's control, saying the operating environment has changed since the pandemic. It adds the resumption of travel has posed challenges for the industry. We now carry about 120,000 or more people a day versus 23,000 a year ago.
According to the Greater Toronto Airports Authority, flight delays and cancellations, along with staffing shortages with airline partners, as well as temporary mechanical issues with the baggage system itself, are causing the delays.
The Federal Transport Minister says the government has added staff to CATSA and CBSA and adjusted public health measures that may have been adding to bottlenecks. And yet,
we continue to see delays, cancellations, and luggage issues. So our commitment is to continue to work with airlines to address these issues. I've had conversations with the four largest airports and the two largest airlines just on Thursday, and I will be having follow-up conversations with them soon.
And nobody answered about my baggage.
But customers say this suitcase scavenger hunt is unacceptable.
I'm full out stressed. There's some things in there that I need to be able to do some other work, and I can't. So I'm actually freaking out.
And losing their luggage is causing many to lose their tempers. Janice Golding, CTV News.
And our coverage of the situation at Pearson continues on our website. Our team of journalists is tracking every development at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
And later tonight, the dilemma after a dream vacation was canceled with travel reward points up in the air. Are yours protected? The countdown is on. The Canada Day long weekend is nearly upon us, and many people are preparing.
And police are getting ready, too, hoping to avoid a repeat of some of the violent incidents we saw over the Victoria Day long weekend. CTV's Andrew Brennan is live at Ashbridges Bay tonight with more. Andrew.
Well, Michelle, speaking to some people along the boardwalk coming from Woodbine Beach, one thing that did come to mind for many of why they're not going to come out for the big show here is looking at what happened during Victoria Day long weekend. Others are saying they just want to play and avoid the crowds. There's plenty of other options. That being said, there's new security footage, cameras here for police to watch, and the city says that other things are being done in advance as well.
Celebrating Canada Day with a bang.
It'll be nice to come out this year and celebrate with the city after a long 2.5-3 years.
But not the wrong kind. Police in the city are preparing for July 1st, but don't want a repeat of Victoria Day weekend at Ashbridges Bay and Woodbine Beach.
And this is just not responsible. This is reckless behavior.
People firing Roman candles like grenade launchers, and amid the fireworks, gunfire. Two people shot, another stabbed, two people robbed at gunpoint, and seven police officers injured. In all, 19 people arrested.
I've lived here almost 30 years, and, you know, to feel like I can't go down to, you know, the lake in the evening because just don't know what's going to be happening, that's not fair.
Police are increasing the security presence for the big show along the waterfront this time around. Along the beach, there are new security cameras to look out for anyone illegally taking things into their own hands within city parks where it's illegal to shoot fireworks. Police say the City of Toronto will have a number of cameras in the area, while police will also have body cameras and the ability to mobilize cameras for investigative purposes if there are criminal incidents. Any criminal activity will not be tolerated. The mayor says other ideas have been looked at.
We've talked about various measures to try and, you know, close down parking at those beaches earlier, which in some cases we've done. But, you know, here's the real key to this, which is just to ask people to behave in a civilized manner.
Local councillor Brad Bradford says, I know we're all eager to get out and reunite. I'll be looking to see the plans that have been developed be rolled out in a timely and coordinated fashion. Some will be staying away just to avoid the crowds.
I'll come here on a nice day when no one's around.
Others are looking forward to seeing the skyline lit up and the lake shimmering below for the first time.
I think everyone's just excited to be out in the city and celebrate, and, you know, everybody being out together for the first time in so long. So I feel like, you know, there's always that chance, but hopefully everybody's on their best behavior.
Celebrating, but safely and legally.
No. Now, much like the rain that's just starting to come down now, the city is looking to do what it can to stop any damper on people's plans. Also mentioning in a release today that there are several other places to go looking for fireworks and festivities around the city, and also for people out into the GTA. There's plenty of other fireworks all going off around 10 p.m. just about everywhere. And for those that are looking to stay home, it's entirely legal to have fireworks on private property, but they have to be wrapped up by 11 p.m. Reporting live, I'm Andrew Brennan. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thanks, Andrew. Let's take a look outside. Everyone's going to be, I'm sure, asking the same question. Will things stay dry and summery for the long weekend? Michelle Jobman's here with a look at the current conditions. Michelle.
Well, yeah, currently not so dry, depending on where you are. You just heard Andrew saying, Nathan, that the rain was just starting to come down. And here, a little closer to the Scarborough area, we've seen heavy rainfall pass through. And that's starting to clear out right now. But you can definitely make out what's happening here on the radar. That's pushing to the southeast. So that should be heavier in the next little while in the eastern portions of the GTA. Winds out of the northwest right now, sustained at 17 kilometers an hour. A little cool tonight. Clouds should be clearing though around the region right now, looking like this, still in the low 20s for the most part, except for at the islands, we're at 19, 24 at Pearson. This is the warmest we've been all day, feeling like 26, 13 overnight, a little bit cool. I'll let you know about your long weekend forecast coming up. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Drivers are expected to get a little relief at the pumps this weekend, but it may not last for long. The Ford government is set to reduce its portion of the gas tax by 5.7 cents per liter for 6 months. It starts on Canada Day. Dan McTagg with Canadians for Affordable Energy says that could push prices down by as much as 7 cents a liter on Friday, just in time for the long weekend. But he says prices will likely rise again in the following weeks.
And on the topic of money, someone has 70 million reasons to smile tonight. A single ticket for last night's $70 million Lotto Max draw was sold in the province, winning it. Five Max Million prizes of $1 million each went to ticket holders in Ontario, Quebec, and the Prairies.
Straight ahead, from R&B superstar to convicted criminal, the sentencing of disgraced singer R. Kelly for using his fame to sexually abuse young fans. Turning to renewed efforts to fight gun and gang violence in Toronto.
Political leaders announcing funding in the hopes of tackling the problem. But will that really make a difference? CTV's John Musselman is live with more. John.
Well, Nathan, for the city of Toronto, it's $12 million. But when you talk to residents in many of the communities where they say that these community centers are so key to getting to the grassroots problem, they could use more help.
Marcel Wilson is a former gang member who understands that gun violence is a complex issue. He says it takes root at a young age. Poverty is a key issue, and he believes community centers can be life-changing.
I can almost remember a shift in my way of thinking when they closed down our community centers and took away all the amazing staff that looked like us, that talked like us, that come from the communities we come from, that had a major impact.
Wilson says he eventually turned his life around when he fell in love with a woman and he realized he was only hurting himself and the people he loved. He is the founder of One by One, an organization aimed at reducing violence. Today, he joined fellow community leaders and politicians at the Malvern Community Center in Scarborough, where the federal government announced $12 million to help community groups tackle the root causes of gun violence in our city.
The point of the federal government is not to dictate what those solutions are, but rather to work collaboratively with the City of Toronto and other communities who are at particularly high risk of gun violence.
Gun violence has been a growing concern in our city. Earlier this month, 8 people were shot and 1 person died in 4 separate shootings on the same weekend.
Nobody's born, you know, with it baked into their criminal, their DNA that they're going to engage in criminal activity. But people grow up in different circumstances. And so it is incumbent upon us in government and working with community leaders to make the investments for those who need a little bit of help, who need a little bit of encouragement to choose the right path.
Community activists welcome the funding, but they say more needs to be done.
I think there just needs to be a sustainable plan because Band-Aid solutions definitely won't work. When the funding does come, you know, there is some change in the sense of where the money is spent and the impact that it has on those people's lives who need it most.
Yeah, I think resources have to come to us to deal with really, you know, the systemic nature of this issue.
So that funding needs to come through for us to really help the families at the grassroots level.
Today's announcement is part of the federal government's $250 million Building Safer Communities Fund.
And that's funding that can help community centers here like the Driftwood Community Center and Malvern in the East, places that Marcel Wilson say are so important to the community. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. We'll send it back to you.
Thank you, John. As the cost of housing remains a key concern, the province has set the ground rules for most rent increases that might take place next year. Ontario's rent increase guideline for 2023 is 2.5%. The Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing says that figure was capped lower than inflation would dictate, which would be 5.3%. Still, it is the largest increase in a decade. It's worth noting that rent control doesn't apply to all units in the province, and rent increases aren't automatic. Property owners can also apply for exemptions.
The Ontario NDP have chosen Toronto Danforth MPP Peter Tappins as their new interim leader.
Our caucus is re-energized, and we're committed to taking on the Ford government in the months to come. We're defenders for people in this province who are facing the highest rates of inflation we've seen in a generation. People are dealing with a housing crisis. There will be no free pass for the Ford government.
Tappins will guide the party as it prepares to elect a permanent leader to take over from Andrea Horvath. Also today, the newly installed PC cabinet held its first meeting. Premier Doug Ford said he and his ministers are focused on delivering on their promises to Ontarians.
Meanwhile, at Queen's Park, demonstrators gathered this afternoon to speak out against the scaling back of abortion rights in the United States. Demonstrators chanted against the U.S. Supreme Court, which overturned federal protections of abortion access last week. The decision doesn't directly impact Canada, but could result in more women seeking care in this country. Organizers say the end of Roe versus Wade sets a dangerous precedent for the world.
A country in which half the population can't make decisions about their own body is not a free country. A country that forces birth on unconsenting women and queer bodies is not a free country. A country in which a rapist can choose the mother of his own child is not a free country.
Some states have already implemented laws banning abortions, even in cases of incest and rape. The protest was called Roe Goes, People Die, and participants then walked from Queen's Park to the U.S. consulate.
In B.C., two police officers seriously wounded in a gunfight with suspected bank robbers have undergone surgery. Both suspects were shot and killed yesterday as police responded to the robbery at a bank in Saanich. A third officer also remains in hospital. Police are still keeping the area near the bank evacuated. They're also still investigating a possible explosive device linked to the incident. The Independent Investigations Office has sent a team to the scene. It examines all police-involved injury or death in that province.
Paying tribute to a fallen hero, a regimental memorial service was held in Halifax today for the RCMP officer killed during the 2020 mass shooting in Nova Scotia. Constable Heidi Stevenson was remembered for her bravery, dedication, and kindness. COVID-19 restrictions had delayed the official ceremony, but a family funeral did take place 5 days after she was killed. During today's service, one of Stevenson's friends spoke about some of the qualities that made her special.
Heidi led with kindness and a smile. She wasn't a heads-down person. She was heads up, looking at people as they walked by, smiling and saying hello, whether she knew them or not. She was a person who soaked in the world around her, not from a news or a gossip perspective, but from a here's what's going on over here and how can I help perspective.
Stevenson was on her way to support an injured fellow officer when she was shot in a gun battle with the killer. He had slammed his vehicle into Stevenson's cruiser. Bullet fragments from her pistol likely hit the gunman, and blood on his head tipped off an officer who shot and killed him about a half an hour later.
It was a busy day at the NATO summit in Madrid. The leaders extending a formal invitation for Finland and Sweden to join the alliance.
And Canada signed an agreement to upgrade the battle group it leads in Latvia. All this as NATO seeks to deter its most dangerous foe. CTV's Kevin Gallagher reports.
In Spain, NATO leaders declared Russia the defense pact's greatest threat, a massive status reversal as the Kremlin was once considered a strategic ally on terrorism. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky says now Vladimir Putin is the terrorist and slammed NATO members for not acting fast enough, warning Ukraine needs rushed shipments of more advanced weapons, or Russia will bring its war to NATO's doorstep. The Kremlin's brutal invasion has left cities in ruin and taken thousands of civilian lives. NATO is now moving to more than double its ground troops along Russia's border, including with Canada's command in Latvia.
Today, we sign an important agreement about the next steps we're going to continue to take given Russia's more aggressive posture.
Go, go, go!
Latvia has agreed to have Canada command the beefed-up brigade force for at least 5 years.
It's not any more time for jokes and the words. Deeds must correspond to our words.
Anand says the mission will have increased firepower and troops. But with 10 different NATO countries under Canada's command, it's not clear who is providing what.
We will commit additional troops with our allies going forward, but we need to have the conversation about how many additional troops.
Canada is also strengthening its diplomatic presence in Latvia and opening new embassies in Estonia, Lithuania, Slovakia, and Armenia. The goal is to help strengthen these democracies that were once part of the Soviet Union's sphere of influence. Kevin Gallagher, CTV News, Madrid.
NATO also promised a new package of assistance for Ukraine. It includes secure communications, body armor, and anti-drone weapons. Russian forces are intensifying their attacks. The governor of eastern Luhansk province reported fighting everywhere in a battle around Lysychansk. Russia is trying to encircle the city as they try to capture all of Ukraine's industrialized Donbass region. U.S. intelligence says the Kremlin still wants to take most of Ukraine, but it will likely make only incremental gains in the short term.
In Paris, 20 men who carried out the 2015 terrorist attack in the city were found guilty today. A convoy believed to be carrying the main suspect arrived at the court where the verdict was read. Salah Abdeslam is the lone survivor. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole after being convicted of murder and attempted murder. 130 people were killed when ISIS terrorists attacked the Bataclan Theater, cafes, and France's National Stadium. The verdicts were rendered following a nine-month trial.
He uses stardom to subject young fans to systematic sexual abuse. Disgraced singer R. Kelly's now been sentenced.
Convicted of racketeering and sex trafficking in a case the judge says was about violence, cruelty, and control. CTV's Zoraida Allman is live with more. Zoraida.
Michelle, at his trial last year, close to a dozen accusers gave testimony describing sexual, physical, and emotional abuse. R. Kelly was first accused of abuse of underage girls in the 1990s. Now, decades later, the I Believe I Can Fly singer is likely looking at the rest of his life behind bars. R. Kelly will be staring at the inside of a prison cell for the next three decades.
Today's sentence is a victory that belongs to the brave victims who came forward.
A federal court judge handing down the 30-year sentence inside a Brooklyn courtroom where some of his accusers gave emotional victim impact statements.
This happened to me a long time ago. I was 17. I'm 45 today. I never thought that I would be here to see him be held accountable for the atrocious things that he did to children. I don't know what else to say except that I'm grateful.
The disgraced R&B superstar was convicted last September on 9 counts that included federal racketeering and sex trafficking. Court heard R. Kelly used his power and celebrity to target and abuse underage girls, a pattern that went on for decades.
I was 14 years old when I encountered Robert Sylvester Kelly. There wasn't a day in my life up until this moment that I actually believed that the judicial system would come through for black and brown girls.
Some of his accusers taking the stand to testify.
Although he had what he may have thought was a perfect scheme to sexually victimize his young victims, he underestimated their courage to fight back.
Kelly's defense team had asked for less than 10 years, arguing that he had been the victim of childhood abuse himself. They plan to appeal.
We were prepared for it, and we are now prepared to fight this appeal. For us, it's just the beginning of the fight, frankly.
R. Kelly's lawyer calling the 30-year sentence a life sentence for the 55-year-old. And it is possible Kelly could face even more jail time. Another trial on federal child pornography and obstruction of justice charges is scheduled in his hometown of Chicago for August. I'm Zoraida Allman. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Zoraida. Another major corporation is distancing itself from Hockey Canada following the handling of an alleged sexual assault and out-of-court settlement. Tim Hortons is suspending its support for the Men's World Junior Hockey Championship this summer in Edmonton. The company says, "We have expressed strongly that we believe Canadians are urgently seeking concrete details from Hockey Canada about how it intends to do so. We will reevaluate our sponsorship agreement once we have all the information we need to consider our options." Scotiabank, Canadian Tire, and TELUS have all paused their Hockey Canada sponsorships. The federal government froze the organization's public funding last week.
Quebec is seeing a rise of COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations.
Definitely, the lifting of public health measures, we knew, we expected that would have an impact because mask is quite efficient to reduce transmission, and the lifting of the measures allowed the virus to circulate more freely. Add to that the waning immunity from either past infection or from vaccination itself.
The increase in cases is being driven by new Omicron subvariants that account for about 75% of infections. Provincial health officials say they appear to be more transmissible than previous strains, but not necessarily more severe. They insist the rise in cases was expected, but it came at a time when they were earlier than anticipated. As of today's update, there were 1,260 people in hospital and four more deaths were reported.
And the World Health Organization says the rise in COVID-19 cases, are on the rise in 110 countries.
This pandemic is changing, but it's not over. We have made progress, but it's not over. Our ability to track the virus is under threat as reporting and genomic sequences are declining.
The WHO says that means it's becoming harder to track Omicron and analyze future emerging variants. It says the increase in cases is causing overall infections globally to rise by 20%.
Meanwhile, the World Health Organization says sustained transmission of monkeypox worldwide could see the virus begin to move into high-risk groups. That could include pregnant women, immunocompromised people, and children. The WHO is investigating reports of infected kids, but none of the cases have been severe. The virus has been identified in more than 50 countries.
Israel's prime minister will not run in the upcoming elections. Naftali Bennett said led a broad but fragile coalition government, but it unraveled barely a year after taking office. The government announced last week it will dissolve the Knesset ahead of elections expected this fall. Bennett will continue to serve as alternate prime minister in a caretaker government to be led by the current foreign minister.
Nancy Pelosi met with Pope Francis today and received communion during a papal mass. The U.S. House Speaker met with the pontiff before the mass and received a blessing, according to one of the attendees. She received communion along with the rest of the congregation. That's despite her position in support of abortion rights. After the mass, she visited a Catholic charity where she met with refugees helped by the group.
Coming up, a brand new batch of appointees to the Order of Canada. The famous faces getting our country's highest civilian honor.
I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, many vacations were canceled during the pandemic and many travelers had difficulty getting refunds or travel credits. But if you paid for your trip with credit card points, it can be even more difficult to get them back. One man says he lost $5,000 in travel rewards. I'll have my report just ahead.
Still some showers out there in the GTA, but they will be clearing as we get later into the evening. A few clouds tonight and a cool low of 13 degrees, but sunshine tomorrow, heat and humidity building in throughout the day. And we'll take a look at what's happening, of course, for the long weekend coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Throughout the pandemic, many resort vacations and cruises were canceled, and getting refunds from travel companies wasn't always easy.
It can even be harder if you booked a trip using travel rewards with a credit card. One man says he lost $5,000 in credit card points. Pat Foran has the story on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, a man from Curtis booked a cruise for May of 2020, and it was canceled because of COVID-19. He had saved more than 500,000 points on his credit card to pay for the trip. When it didn't go ahead, he says the points disappeared, and he's been unable to get them back.
These 500,000 points is worth $5,000.
It was more than 2 years ago that James Carr of Curtis booked a vacation package with his partner. They were to fly to Puerto Rico and take a Caribbean cruise. The price of the cruise was just over $5,000. Carr decided to use almost 500,000 points from his credit card he had accumulated over the years to pay for the trip, plus an extra $145 he had to pay. But then COVID happened.
We decided not to go, which was the right call, and the cruise got canceled. And the points went back on to my credit card.
With the points back on his credit card and nowhere to go during the pandemic, Carr says he never gave them another thought. But when he checked his card at a later date, the points were gone.
There was a $50 charge for the annual charge on a credit card, which I didn't pay because I didn't know I owed it. So they canceled the card.
His credit card was with Scotiabank, and he says when he called to complain, he was told to open up a new credit card and the points would be transferred to the new card. But he says despite many phone calls, hours on hold, and being directed to different departments, the points were never returned.
It's been going on for almost 2 years now. I've been back and forth with them.
CTV News reached out to Scotiabank, and a spokesperson said Scotiabank cannot comment on specific customer matters for privacy reasons, but we worked with the customer and resolved the complaint to their satisfaction. Carr says after we called the bank, he got his points back within days. That was good news for him, as he now has $5,000 in rewards to use towards his next trip.
Obviously, when I was trying, you know, nothing existed. But you call, and all of a sudden they find everything. I feel great. I'm very, very happy and thankful for CTV.
And if you have a travel rewards card, you may have to make a transaction at least once a year or pay an annual fee. And if you don't, you could lose your points. But with some other cards, your points will never expire as long as your account is in good standing. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
We got some rain earlier today, then there was a break, and then we got more rain this evening. But I think the good news is that we'll be putting this behind us for beautiful sunshine tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully things clear up for a while, Michelle.
Well, we do have some sunshine on the way tomorrow. Absolutely. It's going to be a beautiful summer day. Looking at some unsettled conditions potentially for Friday, which of course is Canada Day. I know no one will want to hear that, but it's not going to be a total washout. I think you might just want to take a look at the timing of when we do see that rain. Weather is brought to you by Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So especially if you're in eastern portions of the GTA, you have probably seen some rainfall of the heavier variety in the last little while. That is clearing out as we get later into the evening. Temperature also just bumped up a little bit as we got closer to the 6 o'clock hour. So 24 right now, feeling like 27 in Toronto. We've had a little bit more humidity today than, say, yesterday. And where we do really see the heat and humidity starting to build in is in southwestern Ontario. There are some warnings in place, so we'll talk about that. Overnight tonight, some areas on the cooler side. That includes the city of Toronto, areas like Waterloo, especially up towards Peterborough, Bancroft, even up in the Muskoka region. We don't see that really in southwestern Ontario and the Niagara region, where we're quite seasonal. These are areas that, as of tomorrow, will be in a heat warning. So extending sort of Windsor, Sarnia, Chatham, Kent, right up towards London. These are areas where temperatures will be up to 33 degrees, Thursday and Friday. Humidex values quite a bit more than that. And the overnight lows tomorrow night into Friday are of particular note. And I'll show you that on the 7-day forecast. But even here in the city of Toronto, we're going to be in the low 20s. Tomorrow, 27. Feeling like 30, lots of sunshine, but you'll notice your winds are 32, feeling like 37, so much hotter in southwestern Ontario. So we've had that rain move through. It's lingering in eastern Ontario. It's going to continue to push out and will clear out just a few clouds for the overnight period, but a cooler flow of air before we shift to a flow that's more out of the south as we get into tomorrow with that building heat in between the two fronts of this system. The warm front helps to warm us up. The cold front is going to have us a little bit unsettled as we get into Friday as it encounters that hotter, more humid air. As we get into tomorrow, though, Cottage Country, the Bruce Peninsula extending in through Muskoka region over towards Bancroft into eastern Ontario could see some rain towards tomorrow. Even early tomorrow evening, we could see some activity popping up here, but we should be clear for the day tomorrow. And then this is what things are looking like. Canada Day, we see this front moving in. As we get into the afternoon, it'll affect the GTA, and then we clear out quite nicely. UV index will be quite high tomorrow throughout the region, so don't forget that SPF. Here's a look at your 7-day forecast. 27 feeling like 30 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine. 22 overnight into Friday. That's very warm. 30 degrees is your high, feeling into the 30s, and then a beautiful weekend setting up, but we do have a thunderstorm risk in the afternoon for Canada Day. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Metrolinx is signaling a more hands-on approach when dealing with large crowds of transit riders leaving events downtown. Since April, new wayfinding signs and additional staff have been on hand at Exhibition Go Station after large events nearby. Metrolinx says the goal is to ensure a safe flow of passengers with valid fares, and it's been working well so far. The agency says riders can expect to see similar efforts to manage crowds and check fares at Union Station after major events, and this starts tomorrow.
Also tonight, an all-star follow-up to the critically acclaimed Knives Out is set to make its world premiere right here in Toronto.
On air, online, on every platform.
Escape tragedy by mere moments.
CTV News Toronto.
A story you'll only see here.
Winner of the Canadian Screen Award for Best Local Newscast.
We have developing details.
Watch weeknights at 6.
Summer is just getting underway, but excitement's already building for the Toronto International Film Festival this September.
And the buzz got a lot louder today as the event scored another major movie debut. Festival organizers tweeted today that Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, will make its festival world premiere at TIFF 2022 with an all-star cast led by Daniel Craig. Craig played Master Detective Benoit Blanc in the original Knives Out, and the sequel is expected to take place in Greece and release on Netflix later this year. The Toronto International Film Festival takes place September 8th through to the 18th, and ticket packages are on sale until mid-August.
Fans of the James Bond movies will have to wait a little bit longer for the new installment of the franchise.
If we don't do this, there will be nothing left to save.
James Bond producer Barbara Broccoli tells Deadline that production won't start on a new 007 movie for at least 2 years. Broccoli says that's because a new actor for the title role hasn't been chosen yet. No Time to Die was Daniel Craig's last film as the iconic character.
Returning to the world of murder mystery, the official trailer is out for a comedy thriller featuring several familiar faces.
Kopernik to hush up the affair. Case closed.
I'm doing it again, aren't I, sir? Jumping to conclusions. Okay.
Saoirse Ronan and Sam Rockwell star as a pair of investigators looking for answers in the death of an actor on London's West End. See How They Run also features Adrian Brody and Ruth Wilson. It's out this fall, and that wasn't the only new trailer out today.
Mom, Dad, this is G'day.
I'm supposed to yes do G'day.
You learned that to make me look bad.
You don't need my help there.
Academy Award winners George Clooney and Julia Roberts are reuniting on the big screen in an upcoming rom-com titled Ticket to Paradise. They play ex-spouses on a shared mission to stop their daughter's wedding from going ahead. The movie hits theaters in October.
Some more star power has been added to the Order of Canada. Sandra Oh was named an officer to the Order of Canada for her stage and screen success. And Olympic gold medalist Donovan Bailey is being honored for his track and field excellence and work with youth and amateur athletes. In all, 85 new members were named to Canada's highest civilian honor. An official ceremony is set to be held later this year at Rideau Hall.
Great news from the Toronto Blue Jays broadcast booth. Buck Martinez has completed his cancer treatment, and he's hoping to be back sometime after next month's All-Star break. Colleagues of the veteran broadcaster say his treatment went as well as it possibly could. Martinez stepped away after his diagnosis was revealed in April. The former Major League catcher will begin rehab and recovery.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody. Starting summer with a sizzle. Tomorrow on CP24 Breakfast. Get fresh ideas and barbecue recipes for your Canada Day cookout. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
I don't even want to cross Toronto again right now at this point because just seems like a lot is going on at this airport.
Updating our top stories, stories of frustrating waits and canceled trips are only becoming more common at Pearson Airport, as many arriving passengers face chaos at the baggage claim. Airlines and federal agencies have struggled to keep up with the surge in travel as restrictions eased.
I think there just needs to be a sustainable plan because Band-Aid solutions definitely won't work.
The federal government is providing the City of Toronto with $12 million in new funding. It's aimed at helping community groups tackle the root causes of gun violence. This follows a weekend this month that saw 8 people shot and 1 person killed in 4 separate shootings.
Well, I feel like, you know, there's always that chance, but hopefully everybody's on their best behavior.
And the city's preparing for Canada Day festivities while trying to prevent a repeat of violence seen on Victoria Day long weekend. Several separate incidents at Asbridges Bay and Woodbine Beach saw 19 people arrested. Toronto police plan to increase their presence along the waterfront with more security cameras in place.
In business, many Canadians have been dipping into their home equity lines of credit during the pandemic. And according to a new survey, only about half make regular payments to pay down the principal. With more, here's Jacqueline Hansen from BNN Bloomberg.
More than a quarter of homeowners surveyed say they have a home equity line of credit. Most of them have borrowed from it, including half who say they've used it in the past 2 years. A new survey by Leger for Rates.ca and BNN Bloomberg found that almost 60% of respondents say they currently owe money on their HELOC. The most common reason for using it is home renovations. Only 55% of those polled make regular payments to the principal to pay it down. As many HELOCs are based on variable rate interest, borrowers will have to pay bigger payments as interest rates rise. The head of Canada's banking regulator told BNN Bloomberg that he is very worried how much stress higher rates will put on Canadians' finances. And as mortgage rates rise, the team at TD Economics says that will weigh even more on housing activity than they previously expected. From January's peak, it forecasts national sales to drop 33% this year and prices to fall 19%. TD joins a growing group of economists that expect rising borrowing costs to cool off the housing market after prices increased at a blistering pace the past 2 years. Many central banks around the world have been raising interest rates to try to cool demand for borrowing and spending and, in turn, cool inflation. Today, the heads of the U.S. Federal Reserve, European Central Bank and Bank of England shared a stage in a panel moderated by Bloomberg Television. The head of the U.S. Fed said it is a risk that higher interest rates slow the economy too much and cause a recession. But he says he is more concerned that high inflation could persist. Let's take a look at some of the closing market numbers for today. The Canadian dollar is trading at 77.53 cents U.S., down about a tenth of a cent. West Texas Intermediate oil is at $109.78 U.S., down nearly $2. And Western Canadian Select is also lower at $91.49 U.S. a barrel, a drop of more than $2. As for stock markets, the TSX fell about 144 points to 19,078.64. That is the latest in business. I'm Jacqueline Hansen of BNN Bloomberg.
New numbers shared by the CAA suggest dangerous driving is on the rise in Ontario. A survey found that 98% of motorists witnessed unsafe driving over the last year, up 3% from the year before. That covers everything from speeding and dangerous lane changes to distracted or aggressive driving. At the same time, 58% of drivers admitted to those bad behaviors themselves. The CAA says road safety concerns are specifically bad where speed limits are higher.
It was highways with 100 kilometers an hour where people had the biggest decline in how safe they were feeling on those roads. So clearly highway travel is a serious concern for drivers, and we all have the right to feel safe when we're commuting.
The CAA says a return to pre-pandemic levels of traffic could explain the increase in unsafe driving. The organization is urging Ontarians to follow the rules of the road this Canada Day long weekend.
Tonight, another body blow for Hockey Canada. Tim Hortons suspends support for the upcoming World Junior Championship with growing outrage on how it handles sex assault allegations. Later on CTV National News.
I'm Zaryd Allman. Coming up, Ukrainian Canadians gathering at a rally in Mississauga, calling for the end of Russia's occupation in Ukraine. Plus, running out of patients at Pearson Airport, travelers stranded at the mercy of flight delays and cancellations. Tonight at 11:30.
The Queen met with Scotland's First Minister today, and Nicola Sturgeon did not come empty-handed. She offered the monarch some Scotch whiskey and a commemorative tartan. The gifts come ahead of a garden party to be held at the Palace of Holyrood House. Each year, Her Majesty spends a week visiting various regions in Scotland, hosting guests at her official residence in Edinburgh.
All right, to the forecast. Hopefully things are clearing up tonight.
Absolutely. Things will clear out tonight. A little bit cool, though, through the overnight period, but don't sort of be lulled into thinking that we'll be cool after this. In fact, heat and humidity really starting to build in the next little while, especially for parts of southwestern Ontario, but here in the GTA as well. So let's take a look at our current temperatures. We're actually sitting at 24, feeling like 27 in the city of Toronto. Overnight tonight, though, we're looking at a low of 13. So that's a bit below our seasonal normal low of 16. We'll reach that early in the morning. We've had those showers passing through, lingering in eastern Ontario, but clearing out. Might I suggest tomorrow's a pretty good day for a patio because we have lots of sunshine. 27, feeling like 30. As we get into Friday, though, for Canada Day, we have some sunshine, 30 degrees, feeling much warmer. There will be some thunderstorms, but a great 7-day forecast overall.
Lots to like there. Thank you, Michelle. And be sure to join Zaryda Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
Good night.